In that analysis, he first of all expounds what is called Buddhi Yoga. This is the first step in the answer. Now, why Buddhi Yoga to start with? Because our highest faculty in our consciousness is Buddhi. What are our faculties? Our faculties consist of senses, which Sri Krishna says are Indriyani. That is our lowest faculty in our entire complex. Behind Indriyas is the Manas, is the mind. There is a relationship between Manas and Indriyas. Manas is superior to Indriyas. Because if the mind is absent, even when the senses are cognizant of certain things, you will not cognize them. A mosquito might be biting me here, but if my mind is not attached to it, I will not notice it. I may look at the huge ocean, but if my mind is occupied with something else, I will not be able to visualize the ocean before me. I'll be somewhere else. So even if indriyas, even if the senses are looking at things, if mind is not enjoined with the senses, the senses will not be able to take cognizance of things. So indriyas are connected with manas. Behind the manas is ahambhava, is the ego sense. Behind the ego sense is the buddhi. And beyond the buddhi is the one who really exercises the buddhi. Buddhehe parat purushaha. Beyond the buddhi is purusha, the one who observes, who thinks, who discriminates. Now this is the whole line of our capacities. These capacities again are threefold: cognitive, connective, affective. Among all these faculties, if there is one supreme faculty which you can take hold of, through which you can try to arrive at a complete answer to any question, is Buddhi. That is why the Bhagavad Gita starts with Buddhi Yoga. So if you take hold of Buddhi, and then he says, what is Buddhi? Buddhi is a discriminating intelligence. The intelligence which is capable of standing behind all objects, all movement, is a special quality of the Buddhi. Buddhi is that which can become aware of itself. Indriyas cannot become aware of themselves. Manas to some extent, ahankara to some extent, but buddhi is the one faculty by which it can become aware of itself. When I am angry, I may not realize that I am angry. Afterwards I become aware that, oh, I was angry. The self-consciousness is best reflected in the operations of buddhi. That is why Sri Krishna first of all starts with buddhi. You take hold of the buddhi and recognize that this buddhi can discriminate between that which is mutable and that which is immutable. This is the first result that you can get if you really practice buddhi yoga. Now the question is, what is the definition of yoga? By buddhi yoga, certainly you can achieve the discrimination between mutable and immutable. But what is yoga? Now in the Bhagavad Gita you will find several meanings of the word yoga. Even just now we saw samattvam yoga uchyate. Then there will be another afterwards, sometimes it will be said karmasu kaushalam yoga. The yoga, the kaushala in karma is also yoga. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. That is also the definition of yoga. He speaks of Sankhya Yoga, he speaks of Karma Yoga, he speaks of Jnana Yoga, he speaks of Bhakti Yoga, he speaks of yoga as such. What is the meaning of yoga? The answer that is common to all the propositions which are here is, it is basically one-pointed concentration. In this chapter, you will see Sri Krishna makes a distinction between vyavasayika buddhi, the buddhi which is vyavasayika, that which is impelled by desires and activities of all kinds, and a buddhi which is sthita pragya, the buddhi which is stable, concentrated, ekagra.